Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Tonight, I want to look at what Proverbs has to teach us about harvest. And on Sunday, I talked a lot about how your harvest is determined by the seeds that you sow. That's really the biggest thing. So we could talk a lot about harvest, but really what I want to talk to you more about is the seeds that you sow. Because if you sow the right thing, you'll harvest the right thing. So I could talk to you about harvest, but if I don't talk to you about the seeds that you're sowing, then you may get frustrated at the harvest that you have because you're like, where's the harvest? Where's the harvest? But the harvest can only be determined by the seed. I referenced Sunday that we're in the process of building some raised beds and having our first little garden, and I'm realizing that we will only be able to partake of what we plant. Right? We originally had these big dreams. I was just telling Pastors Lauren and Bonnie earlier, we were going to make 4x12 raised beds, and we were going to plant, we had a list of things. Pastors Lauren and Bonnie, we were going to plant this and this and this. But as we get closer, I realized we need to kind of ease into this thing, but there were some things that we were going to plant that I don't know that we would have ever actually even eaten. And so I want to make sure in my life spiritually that I am planting what I want to harvest. I am planting what I want to reap. That the things that I do, that the things that I say. And so tonight we're going to talk more about sowing, and we're going to look at Proverbs more about that, because if you sow, you will reap. That's what the Word of God says. We read that on Sunday morning out of the book of Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that principle, that is a kingdom principle, okay? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's a kingdom principle. And so we find that in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to show you that tonight. But I want to talk to you about five types of seeds that you should constantly examine how you are sowing. Five different types of seed that you should constantly examine how you are sowing, because these five different seeds that you sow, every single one of us sow them every single day. Okay? And here are the five things: your thoughts, your words, your time, your emotion, and your money. Okay? Those are the five seeds we're going to talk about, because those five seeds, every single day, you sow those five seeds. You sow thoughts, you sow words, you sow time, you sow emotion, you sow money every single day. No one is exempt that is in this room. Now, you might say, you know, some age groups are exempt from sowing money. Some are, you know, but everyone sows thoughts, words, time, and emotion. And once you reach a certain age, which all of us have, you will sow money on a daily basis. And so very, very rarely do we stop and consider the fact that each of these things not might, but will in fact reap a harvest. Your thoughts, your words, your time, your emotion, your money not might reap a harvest, they will reap a harvest. But I like what Jesus tells us in the parable of the sower. He said that the sower, he went out and he sowed some seed, and some reaped 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I want a 100-fold return of whatever God has for me in my life. So in order for me to do that, I need to make sure that in my thoughts, in my words, in my time, in my emotion, in my money, I am sowing the right thing so that I will get a 100-fold return. I don't want to get just a 30 or a 60. I want the 100-fold return in my life. So go with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 22. That's where we're going to begin tonight. It's Proverbs chapter 22. And this is going to be more of a teaching than it is a preaching sermon tonight. And so I want to try to slow down and really take our time. And I don't know if you noticed, but on Sunday morning, especially the second half when I started talking about harvesting souls, I wasn't very fiery or passionate. And I told Pastor Madison when we were driving later that day, I said, you know, I really tried to slow down on that part because sometimes the message can be covered up by the emotion. And I wanted to make sure that you were actually getting what I was saying, that the importance of reaching souls, the responsibility that each and every one of us have. I love what Keith Green said, the great songwriter and piano player back in, he went to be with the Lord in the 80s, but he said, this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls. Don't put that responsible on somebody else. If you are alive right now, you are responsible as a child of God to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus to those that are around you, to the world that is hurting, is broken. So Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 8 says, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. He who sows in iniquity will reap sorrow. Remember, we're talking about the seeds that we sow, and everything that you sow will reap a harvest. That word sorrow, so when it says he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, that word sorrow means to come up short. Okay? To come up short. I want you to remember that, because you're going to realize this throughout the night as we talk about these five things that we sow on a daily basis. Is when you sow wicked, sinful, unrighteous seeds in every arena of your life, you will come up short. I don't know about you, but I don't like coming up short. I don't like finishing second place. I don't like not having enough. I don't like being, you know, almost there but not quite getting there. I'm in that group of people that think second place is first loser, okay? So I don't like coming up short. I don't want to come up short in my words and my thoughts and my actions. I don't want to come up short in being a husband. I don't want to come up short in being a parent. I don't want to come up short in being a pastor. I don't want to come up short in my finances. I don't want to come up short in my integrity. I want to be somebody that, like the Apostle Paul said, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is found in Christ Jesus. Meaning, I'm not going to stop short. It's like I mentioned Hebrews, we are not of those who shrink back to perdition, but those who press on to the saving of the soul. I don't want to be somebody that sows in iniquity and reaps coming up short. Almost being there. It's like King Agrippa told Paul when Paul went to Agrippa in the book of Acts and he shared the gospel with him. You know what Agrippa said to Paul? He said, "You have almost convinced me to become a Christian." But he came up that short. I don't want to get to heaven and come up short. I don't want to be one of those people that said, "Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons. I did mighty miracles." And he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's coming up short. So I don't want to come up short in my life. I want to cross the finish line. I want to be everything that he has called me to be. And I know that you're that kind of person too. So if sowing seeds of wickedness and iniquity reap sorrow, you have to flip it on the other side and think that what does that say of the man or woman who sows righteousness, right? I don't want to just look at the negative things. Oh man, if I sow iniquity, I'll come up short. Well, if I sow righteousness, that means I will go beyond where I thought I could go. I'll go beyond where my parents went. I'll go beyond where anybody else around me went. And so that means that we will abound in every way. So let's take a lesson from Proverbs 22 and examine ourselves to make sure that every seed that we sow is not one that will cause us to come up short, but will cause us to increase in our life. I don't want to sow things that later I'm going to reap and they're going to come back to bite me in the rear end. You ever had something that, you know, you put off? Procrastination is your best friend in the moment, but it becomes your worst enemy. That's what my dad always taught me. He would say, "Son, procrastination is your best friend in the moment, but one day it will soon become your worst enemy. Whatever you put off for today will eventually come back to haunt you tomorrow. It'll cause you to come up short." So let's make sure that whatever we're sowing today in these seeds, these five things that we do every single day, somewhere you're processing your thoughts, you're using your words, you are giving of time, you are using emotions that God gave you, and you're giving money out some way. And so these five things, let's make sure that we're sowing them the right way. So I want to look deeper at each of these seeds that we talked about a moment ago, starting with our thoughts, okay? You ready? So our thoughts. I've heard it said before that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Whatever you think about the most, that's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is on the pathway of your strongest thoughts. So every single day, when you sow a thought, you are going to reap an action. That's just principle. That's what happens. The more you think about something, eventually you are going to do that thing. And that is why your thoughts are so important. It's because every seed of thought becomes a harvest of action. Okay? So if you think about something, you're eventually going to do it. That's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read this to you. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, okay? So what he's saying is the battle that you're fighting is not in your body. It's not just your body. It's not external. It's an internal battle. It's not something that is with flesh and blood. It's something that is with powers and principalities. Because verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the important part right here. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing every thought captive. Okay? I want you to think about this. There are thoughts that are running loose in your mind that are trying to wreak havoc, and you need to arrest those thoughts. Just like if there was a criminal on the street that was trying to harm your children, trying to rob you from your house, trying to steal your car, trying to wreak havoc in our community, you would want the police to what? Apprehend that criminal and put him in jail. In the same way, there are thoughts that are trying to destroy your life every single day, and we need to arrest those thoughts. We need to take those thoughts captive. We need to not let them continue to lead us into the actions that are going to take us further away from who God has called us to be. We need to take them captive. That word captive, lead every thought, take every thought into captivity. That word captivity means to lead. Okay? So I want you to think about this for a moment. Are you leading your thoughts or are your thoughts leading you? Because it's one or the other. You're either leading your thoughts into the kind of thoughts that God tells us by His Word to think. That's why Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are praiseworthy, what does he say? Think on these things. What he's saying is you make the conscious decision within yourself that you are going to lead your thoughts into thoughts that are good, that are peaceful, that are of good report, that are praiseworthy. Because if you don't make the decision to put your thoughts in those positions, then your thoughts are going to drag you into areas that your mind doesn't need to go. And I'm not just talking about nasty, impure things. I'm just talking about things like negativity, things like anxiousness, worry, depression, fear. And we are surrounded right now in a culture that is driven by fear. And so it would make sense that fear would try to run rampant in your mind. So your thoughts are either leading you or you are leading your thoughts. So Paul tells us to take captive, to lead our thoughts. But so many people, I've seen this, are controlled by their thoughts. They are led astray by their thoughts. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of lust, thoughts of greed, thoughts of insecurity. These thoughts lead you into temptation, and temptation will lead you into sin. They'll lead you into depression. They'll lead you into hatred. They'll lead you into failure. You know what they will ultimately lead you into? Coming up short. Like the book of Proverbs says, he who sows in iniquity will come up short. He will reap sorrow. And when you allow your thoughts, because listen, every single one of us have fears. I don't care how close you get to God, you're still going to have fears, right? Even you look at the disciples, Peter, even though he was walking with Jesus on a daily basis, when he saw the waves, he began to fear. He became anxious, right? Paul had things in his life. He had a thorn in his side that he dealt with. No matter how close you get to God, the enemy is still going to try to use the tactic of fear, of insecurity. No one is void of insecurity. We're all just trying to battle it through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome it, because nobody's perfect, so therefore we all have something to be insecure about, right? And so there are these thoughts that are going to constantly try to lead us and try to guide us and try to govern us, but we need to lead our thoughts. We need to take every thought into captivity that exalts itself, the things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. So what is the cure for being led by your thoughts? The answer is simple. Stop. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. We think, what do I need to do? I guess I need to get deliverance. I guess I need to get so-and-so to pray for me. I'm not against prayer. I'm not against deliverance. But sometimes we overcomplicate things and we think, I need to get this person to pray for me, and I need to go to this conference, and I need to buy this teaching series by this certain pastor. But really what we need to do is take every thought captive. Paul gave us the answer that you need right here. Lead your thoughts instead of allowing you need to take control of yourself and say, I am not going to be led astray by this thought of fear. I'm not going to be led astray by this thought of insecurity. I'm not going to allow lust to run rampant in my mind and in my heart. I'm going to take control and I'm going to say no. I'm going to think on things that are good, that are positive, that are praiseworthy, that are holy, that are righteous. So I'm going to lead my thoughts instead of allowing my thoughts to lead me. So you need to take charge. You need to declare yourself over yourself daily what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I have the mind of Christ. I would encourage you, if you struggle in your thoughts, and actually I'm not even going to say if you struggle in your thoughts, because guess what? Everybody in this room, me included, we struggle with our thoughts. That's why there's sermon series on the battleground of the mind, because the mind truly is a battleground that you have to fight in on a daily basis. And that's why Paul said the weapons are of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty in Christ Jesus for pulling down strongholds. We have the mind of Christ. Realize this about the mind of Christ. You don't have to earn it. It's already been given to you. He said you have it. It's like the armor of God. You don't have to go to the Christian bookstore and buy the armor of God. He just gave it to you. You just have to choose to take it up. He said, put it on. And he says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. When Jesus fulfilled the work of the cross, one of the things that he gave us was his mind. A mind that is pure. A mind that is wise. A mind that is active and is able to give us what we need to get through this life and not be led astray, because Jesus was tempted in all things but without sin, right? And so we have that mind that he has. So you need to stop allowing your thoughts to lead you, and you need to start leading your thoughts. You need to choose to take charge. That's why it's called self-control in the fruit of the Spirit. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Self-control. I've always struggled with that, because I'm like, well, should I really be controlling myself? Shouldn't the Holy Spirit be controlling me? But it's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives you. He empowers you to take charge over your thoughts, to take charge over your mind, and to say, no, I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to be led astray and led captive by this thought, but I'm going to use this thought as a seed, because if I think, like Paul said in the book of Philippians, think on these things which are good, which are lovely, it's going to lead me into a harvest. Okay, so I want to go really quickly before we go on to words. I want to go to Philippians. I want to read that to you really quickly. Philippians chapter 4. Because I want to show you these are the type of seeds that you need to be sowing in your thought life. And I would encourage you, I've done this before, write these things down and put them somewhere where you can see them every day. Put them on your mirror where you brush your teeth. Put them on the dash of your truck. Put them, in your office, somewhere that you're going to see them, and meditate on these things. Think on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, so we should be sowing, and listen, we could probably talk all night on this. I'm going to get going here in just a second into the other ones. But so one of the problems with our mind running rampant is we place scenarios in our mind that aren't even true. We start thinking, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And if they say this, I'm going to respond this way. The other day, I was in a store, and I'm just going to bare my soul with you, okay? I don't wear a mask, okay? Usually places that I go. And so sometimes I have to prepare myself. If they ask me to put on a mask, I'm going to have a good attitude. If they ask me to put on a mask, I'm going to have a good attitude. And I'll say that the whole way to the store. And they'll ask me to put on a mask, and I'm still tempted to have a bad attitude, right? And so the other day I was like, well, if they ask me to put on a mask, I'm going to say this. And I was like, no, why am I doing that? I've already purposed, if they ask me to, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to cause a scene, because I don't want to be that kind of person. I'm just going to put one on. But sometimes we do. We make these scenarios in our head. Well, if my husband says this, then I'm going to say this back to him, and I'm going to bring this up. Or if my neighbor says this, or if grandma does that one more time, I'm not going to Thanksgiving anymore. You know, we play these scenarios out in our mind, and we create these things. But he's saying you need to think on things that are true, and anything you make up isn't true. Okay, so whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, that means they're good, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Listen, quit playing a bad report over in your mind. The doctor might have told you something, hey, this isn't anything to worry about. We're just going to keep an eye on it for the years to come. And you start thinking, oh my goodness, what's in the years to come? Guess what? In the years to come, you're going to have another bad report. But you think on things that are a good report. Think about the fact that they said it's nothing to worry about. Why is it that when they say, hey, this is nothing to worry about, but we start thinking about what there is to worry about, right? But think on things that are of a good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Some translations say, think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. When we set our mind on things above and not on things of this earth, when we sow the thoughts and the seeds of our mind in the right place instead of in the wrong place. Most of our problems, there will be problems as long as we're here, but the problems that we create within ourselves would probably be a lot less if we would change the way that we think. Yeah. change our mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you're awful, you're no good, guess what? You're going to end up being those things. But if you think, I'm a child of God, I am called, I am highly favored, and you begin to declare those things, you begin to meditate on things that are true and not things that are wrong. Listen, anything about you that about how God created you that you think is wrong, that's a lie from the enemy, because God created you in His image. I was listening to a song today, and it said, know it or not, seen or forgot. It's talking about God. I'm not running out on you. He says, love me or hate me, I'm not going anywhere. Leave me or take me, you still bear my signature. Think about that. God put His signature of approval on you. The other day, I got a package in the mail, and it said, it had a signature from someone. It said, this package was packed, and it was processed by so-and-so, and they signed their name. God saw you in your mother's womb, and He put His signature of approval on it. You passed inspection. So don't think, I'm not this or I'm not that. Begin to sow seeds of your thoughts in the right place. Amen? All right, the second thing, oh goodness, I'm only on number one and we're 7:23. So hopefully y'all don't have anywhere to be tonight. The second thing is words. We'll try to move through these a little bit quicker. Proverbs 16, verse 24, okay? It says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like honeycomb. You ever eaten honeycomb? My grandparents used to always keep honeycomb in their pantry growing up. And we'd always open up the jar and take a bite of honeycomb and we'd chew on it. And it's so sweet. It's such a great treat to have, right? But pleasant words are like honeycomb. Sweetness to your soul and health to your bones. As much as you enjoy whatever your favorite snack is, something that's just amazing, that you just love, that's what pleasant words do to your soul. And your words are seeds that you're sowing. So that shows us that your words are either promoting sweetness and health or bitterness and death. We talked about it Sunday morning. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So your words are seeds that you're sowing that are either going to promote life in your life or death in your life. Life in your spouse's life or death in their life, in your children, in your coworkers. Your words matter. Everything you say, whether someone can hear it or not, it's planting a seed in your life and in their life. So which one would you like to receive? We would all say, I'd like to receive sweetness. I'd like to receive health. But most likely, we're probably sowing bitterness and death more often than not. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the treasure, brings forth evil things. Listen to this very carefully in 36. But I say to you, for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That shows me how important it is that I sow the right kind of words. Because one day I'm going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of all eternity, and I'm going to be justified or condemned, not by my actions, but by my words. That's what He says right here. By your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Jesus says, either make the tree and the fruit good or make it bad. But don't try to have good fruit and bad fruit on the same tree. That's why James tells us, don't let blessings and curses, they're coming out of the same mouth. And brethren, these things ought not to be. So don't try to produce blessings and curses out of your mouth. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know the condition of your heart? Listen to your words. You want to know if your heart's in a good spot? Are you speaking good words or are you speaking bad words? And when I say bad words, I'm not just talking about cuss words. you know, four-letter words. I'm talking about the way that you talk to your spouse, the way you talk about your coworkers, the way you speak to your children, the way you talk about yourself, the way you talk about others that you know, the way you talk about the governor or the president or this or that or the other thing. Because if you have evil, curses, negativity coming out of your mouth, it means you have a heart issue. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. I'm convinced that most people would change the way that they talk if they had to listen back to everything they said. Sometimes, we've all done it. You've been in a conversation with someone and you're like, can they hear themselves? You know? Do they really hear what they're saying? Sometimes I wonder what I would say differently if I listened back to every conversation that I had with somebody. Hopefully, I'm learning by the Holy Spirit to control more what I say and what I don't say. But I think a lot of us could learn from just listening back to ourselves. Think about the conversation you had with that coworker. Think about the way that you spoke to your family member. Think about what you said on Facebook or what you said in that text message, and realize that it is the perfect indicator of where your heart is towards God, where your heart is towards people, whether there's love in your heart or whether there's hatred in your heart, whether there's forgiveness in your heart or bitterness in your heart. Your words are the best indicator of where your heart is. And you know why I think people would change the way that they talk if they had to listen back to everything they said recorded? Because negativity and complaining and gossip is no fun to listen to. And so if you were forced to listen back to everything you said, you would be like, I'm tired of hearing this. I don't want to hear any more negativity. I don't want to hear any more curses. I don't want to hear any more complaining. And so you would change the way that you talked because you wouldn't want to listen back to it. And sometimes we don't even realize what's coming out of our mouth because we're just so used to it coming out of our mouth. But Jesus said, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. There's no in between. There's either justification or condemnation. So what are you going to reap tomorrow based on the words that you're sowing today? And I want to reap a good harvest. So I want to allow the Holy Spirit to teach me to control what it is that I say in my words. I talked a lot about that on Sunday morning, so I'm not going to go into much depth tonight. The third thing that we're sowing every single day is time. Every second that ticks off of the clock is a second that you are sowing into your destiny. That's why for athletes, it's so important to train, to eat right, to manage their time, to manage their bodies, to manage their sleep schedule, is because they realize that every second that ticks off of that clock is 1 second closer to the time that I'm going to have to compete or I'm going to have to be. It's like a soldier that they realize that when they're in training, every second that I'm in training is preparing me for a battle that one day I'm going to have to face. Every single second that ticks off of the clock is time that you are sowing into your destiny. It's funny that when we grow up, we stop talking about destiny. But destiny isn't reached. Destiny is really just a process of becoming closer and closer to the perfect picture that God has created you or me to be. Sometimes we get this idea of destiny. Once I make this much money a year, I've reached my goals. Once I have this many children, once I get this job, once I do. No, destiny is really just what God is calling you to in the future, what He is leading you into more and more and more. And we don't think about time being something that we're sowing or something that we will reap, but it is. Every day you are sowing time and you are reaping from the time that you have sown in the past. Listen what Proverbs chapter 25 verse 13 says. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the souls of his master. Wouldn't you like it that later down the road you're refreshed because of what you've sown in the past? Because there's going to come a time of harvest for what you have sown. And so that's what it says in Ecclesiastes. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap, right? And so we have to understand that our time is something that we are sowing. And I want to encourage you tonight to sow your time well. Don't waste it. Because time is the one thing that every single one of us have in common. Every person has 24 hours a day, no more, no less. I don't have more time or less time than you. And honestly, being busy isn't an excuse because these days everybody's busy. You remember when only important people were busy? Now everybody's busy. I mean, I know teenagers that are busy. I know children that are busy. They got soccer on Tuesdays and they got, you know, this on Thursdays and they got this on. I remember when I was a youth pastor, it was so hard to find time to do stuff for the youth group because all the youth were busy doing stuff. Like they, I was like, when I was a teenager, I didn't have anything to do but play outside, you know, or not, maybe not a teenager. When I was a child, when I was a young one, you know, but everybody, it seems like, is so busy nowadays, every single person. So it's really not an excuse because every single person has the same amount of time. We only get 24 hours a day. So it's important to make sure that we're using our time well, because listen to this, think about this. Your spouse needs some of your time. Your children need your time. Your job requires your time. There are some things that you can't control how much you give it and how much you don't give it. But because your job pretty much determines you need to be here this time and you can't leave until this time. But you get to determine, I'm going to give my spouse this much time in the morning, in the evening, on the weekends. I'm going to give my children this amount of time. And when you do that, you are so, realize when you take your child in the yard and you throw a ball with them or you play a game with them or you take them on for out for breakfast, you're not just fulfilling dad and mom duties. You're sowing into their destiny. You're helping create them and mold them and fashion them. God gave them to you as a gift that one day will be released, and they're going to be raising your grandchildren. Think about this as you raise your children. Who do you want to raise your grandchildren? If you don't want a bunch of brats running around, you better start raising them right. You know what I'm saying? So the one way that we sow our time well is through daily devotion to God. If you want to start your day right, start it with God. Reading the Word, praying, worshiping, meditation, study. One way that you can make sure that your time, because you will never regret time you spent with God. I have never come out of my prayer time and thought, that was a waste. Why'd I do that? I've never gotten done reading the Bible and thought, man, I really wish I would have checked Facebook instead of reading another chapter. Never. You know why? Because it's fulfilling. Because it is fuel for our spirit. It is, and so what you're doing when you read, when you pray, when you worship, when you think about God, is you are sowing time into Him, and you will reap what you have sown. You want to have a good long life? Sow your time well. Make sure that you're using every single second that God gives you to become a better person and to make the life of those that are around you better. So remember, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you sow your time with God, you will reap time from God. So life is but a vapor. That's what the Word of God says. But the time that you and I do have on earth, we should sow well if we want to reap well. Amen? Here's the fourth thing is emotion. Okay? Every single day, you are sowing emotion. Emotional energy is another one of those things that we don't think about enough. But every day, you are expending, or I should probably say, every day, you are sowing emotional energy into something. And there are some things that are draining your energy because you keep sowing into them. It's like putting money in a paper shredder, right? You wouldn't do that, would you? Hopefully not. But you will continue to pour your emotions into something that drains you, into a relationship that drains you, into a project that drains you, into a social media platform that drains you. You will continue to just pour and pour and pour. It's like lighting a $100 bill on fire every single time, because we've got to make sure that we are sowing our energy in the right place. Because you know what Jesus told us in the book of Matthew? Don't worry about anything. So when we worry, we are wasting emotional energy instead of sowing emotional energy. So you have a choice. When a problem arises in your life, you can sow energy and emotion into the problem, or you can put it into God. Because the Bible says, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. If your thoughts are on Him, if your emotions are poured into God, you won't be brought down. You won't continue to put money in the paper shredder and just waste it and waste it and waste it. Because you can either waste time worrying or you can invest time praying. Would you, if you had the opportunity, if you had $100,000, would you rather light it on fire and watch it burn, or would you rather invest it and watch it get a return on investment? All of us would hopefully choose to invest the money. But why is it that with our emotions, we choose to just light them on fire and let them waste our energy, and we just go down the tubes and we get mad and we get upset? You know, people usually do one of two things. You either get mad or you get sad, okay? All right? when something bad happens, you either get mad or you get sad. Some people do both, but most people are either mad or sad. I'm a mad person more than a sad person, okay? You guys, let's if you're open to this, when something bad happens, do you get sad or do you get mad? Okay, first we're going to do sad. If something bad happens, you get sad. Okay, something bad happens, you get mad. Okay, we're a bunch of mad people here. Usually that's what happens. And so you have to learn yourself and know yourself. This is something that they're teaching a lot today, is called emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. How intelligent are you regarding your emotions? How are you able to process through emotional situations? And businesses will literally look for people that they would rather someone have a high emotional intelligence than a high IQ. You know why? Because if you have a high IQ, but you have a low emotional intelligence, you're going to burn out, you're going to crash, you're going to explode on people, you're not going to be good at your job. And so it's important that you have emotional intelligence. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God wants us to sow our emotion the right way. To not allow bad things to just pull us down, and everything that we have, all of our energy is going to that problem. When David says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, not continually to the overwhelming thing, and I'm just sowing all my energy and sowing all my thoughts and sowing all my problems and more problems. Guess what? You sow your emotional energy into problems, what will you reap? Problems. But if you sow your emotional energy into God and into Him, and you choose to meditate on things that are good and pure and lovely, guess what? You'll begin to reap things that are good and pure and lovely instead of more problems, okay? So it's a very dangerous thing to be led by your emotions. Because just like with your thoughts, you're either being led by your emotions or you're leading your emotions. And we need to choose. When David was frustrated, when he was mad, when his men wanted to stone him and killed him, it says David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I love in Psalm 103, David commands his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. In other words, he was saying, I am taking control of my emotions, and I'm not going to allow my emotions to run me down into the ditch and to get upset and to get despondent and to get discouraged and to get mad or to get sad, but I'm going to take it to God. And listen, the one place that you can expend that emotional energy is to God. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. You think, well, I have to express myself. You do. Express yourself to God. If you're dealing with a problem, with a situation, you just read the Psalms and listen to David pour out his heart to God. God, these enemies, they hate me. Would you please just kick their teeth out, right? That's the kind of stuff that David would pray. But we expend all of our emotional energy with other people, with other problems, when God's just saying, take it, bring it to me. Because God gave you the emotions. There's nothing wrong with emotions. We just have to learn how to manage and how to steward the emotions that God gave us. You ever been around somebody that's controlled by their emotions? I remember one time, I have a sister named Micah who's very emotional, okay? Which being emotional can be a very good thing, okay? But it can also be a very bad thing. But you have to learn how to manage those emotions. And I have a brother named David, who now David is 13. But when David was just a baby, he was going to his first ever appointment after being born to the doctor. And one of my siblings, I don't know who it was, loaded him in the car seat and forgot to strap him. They just put him in there. Well, they go to load him in the van, and David slides out of the car seat, and the back of his head hits the curb of the in the parking lot, and he was laying there motionless. And so my mom picks him up. Everybody's freaking out. And Micah, my sister, was probably 5, and she is just screaming at the top of her lungs. David's dead. Oh my goodness. Just ah. And so finally, my mom's trying to deal with David, trying to see if he's alive. And Micah is just freaking out. And finally, my brother Stuart slaps her across the face. And she went, and she stopped, and she calmed down. And sometimes, I'm sure Pastor Lauren's seen this in stressful situations in the military, sometimes people's emotions run away so much with them, they have to be shocked back into reality. And hopefully tonight, if your emotions run rampant with you, that tonight's sermon is like a slap in the face to say, hey, stop. Because your freaking out isn't doing anything. Remember what Jesus said, don't worry about anything. If you're worried about this and worried about that, and stop. Tonight's sermon is like that slap in the face that Micah, it shocked her back into reality. Thankfully, David's fine. He does this every now and then, but no, I'm just kidding. He's fine. He was fine. Praise God. And but sometimes we need to be shocked back into that reality to go, okay, I'm being too emotional and I need to chill out. I'm expending emotional energy. So the problem is when we sow our emotions in the wrong place. Whatever you're feeling, take it to God. Remember, he said, cast all your cares upon me. Don't hold back your emotions, because that's what happens is, especially guys have a tendency to suppress emotion, right? Push it down, push it down, push it down. But eventually, what happens when you continue to push something down? How many of y'all have pushed the garbage can down and pushed it down and pushed it down? Then finally you open it up and it all comes back out, right? And it's a mess, right? As men, we need to learn how to share our emotions. As women, we need to learn how to, when I say we, y'all, need to learn how to control your emotions. Some men are more emotional than their wife, and that's okay. God created everybody different, but we need to learn how to control them and not be led by our emotions, but lead our emotions to God, okay? All right, here's the fifth thing. Money, okay? We all sow money. If you aren't, I'm surprised you're here, because you would probably be locked up in jail if you didn't sow your money in some shape, form, or fashion. This is everybody's favorite topic, right? No, nobody really likes to talk about money. Some people do. I heard a song the other day, and it's a fun little song, and it says, family singing in the kitchen, family running through the yard, family going on vacation, family on the credit card. And it's kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, funny little thing. But it's also kind of sad, because it is a reality for a lot of people that don't sow their money properly. Here's the thing. Money is meant to be sown. That's why God gave it to us, okay? But for many, because they refuse to sow into the kingdom of God, because they refuse to sow into the people that are around them, they live bound to money, bound to debt. And once again, what's the definition of reaping in sorrow? Coming up short. So many people in their finances, the average American is $50,000 in debt. That's coming up short. I don't care which way you put it. And that's not just talking about house. That's talking about credit cards. That's talking about student loans. That's talking about, you know, personal loans. I saw an ad one time at my bank, and it said, want to go on vacation? Check out our low interest loans. And I was like, I cannot believe that, and I'm not trying to offend anyone if you've done this, that someone would take out a loan to go on vacation. You don't need a vacation that bad, okay? You need rest. You need recreation. But you don't need what America has painted as vacation. We all need to vacate from work for a period of time. We all need a fresh perspective. We all need to take a break. But we don't all have to go to Disney. We don't all have to go on a cruise, okay? Just because your friends are posting pictures of a cruise doesn't mean that you need to take out a loan to go on a cruise, because you don't need it that bad. What will happen is, when we live with that mentality, we will always be coming up short. We'll always be in the red. I just read this morning in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Because remember, we're talking about Proverbs. I've actually probably used more scriptures from Proverbs tonight than I have on any of these other Proverbs ones. There is one who scatters, one who sows, yet is increased more. There is one who holds back more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also himself be watered. I love, Mr. Tim and I have talked about this before. I believe it's the Message Bible says, the world of the generous grows larger and larger. Isn't that what it says? The world of the generous gets larger and larger. When you sow financially, whether it's a tithe, whether it's an offering, whether it's being generous to a family member or to a friend, helping somebody in need, the Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. You're sowing into a place that you're going to reap a harvest from God, because God is going to pay that back. So it makes me think about Bethel, our son Bethel. Bethel is one of the most generous people that I know. If he gets a new toy, he will let his brothers play with it within 5 minutes of getting the new toy. If he has gum, who wants a piece of gum? And he's just giving out gum. If he, you know, has, you know, two quarters and he wants to get a piece of gum and Judah doesn't have a quarter, he'll give Judah that extra quarter. So that he's just generous. He's always giving to people. He's always sharing. And you know what we've noticed this in Bethel's life? It seems like Bethel always has more than everybody else. He does. It's crazy. He's always got more toys than everybody else. He's always got more this, more that. You know why? Because It's almost like everything that he has is multiplied. Why? Because it's a kingdom principle. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. If you are generous, the one who scatters, it doesn't make sense to our mind because we think the less I give, the more I have. No. The more you give, the more you have. The more you sow, the more God can and the more God will bless you. It's a kingdom law that if you are generous, you will be blessed. But if you hold back, you won't prosper. It says it will only lead to poverty. And in America today, there are so many people that are living above their means and beyond their paycheck and expecting somehow to get ahead. It's sad. There are people who are Christians but refuse to willfully give God 10% of their income, and they wonder, why am I not blessed? Because you're not giving cheerfully the way that God tells you to give cheerfully. So let's go back to that line in that song, going on vacation on the credit card. Just think about this for a second. I'm going to start to close with this. I was thinking, because I heard that line, and I kind of laughed when I heard the line, but I started thinking about it. If you don't have the money to go on vacation, so you put it on the credit card, you already don't have the money to pay for the vacation. So when you get back, you're probably not going to have the money to pay the payments on the credit card, which are probably now going to be high interest rate. So when you get back, you're going to be more stressed out. And you know what you're going to think? I need a vacation. So what are you going to do? You're going to open another credit card. You're going to max out the credit cards you already have, or you're going to get a loan to go on. And it's this cycle because, listen, the credit card companies want to give you more money. They love to give, but they're not giving you more money, okay? So you think they've increased my line of credit. No, they've given you more rope to hang yourself with. And you think, oh, that's great. I remember when I first went to buy my first vehicle, they said, you can afford this much. And I said, no, I can't. You say I can, but I know I can't. I love what Dave Ramsey says. Just because you can make the payments doesn't mean that you can afford it. There's a difference in making the payment and affording it. And we've got to realize that our money is something that is meant to be stewarded and managed and sown in the right place. If you choose to, buy a new thing for your house instead of tithing this month, don't expect the blessing from God. And I know people don't like to hear that, especially from a pastor. You just want us to give your money to the church. No, listen, I'm that's not what I'm talking about. I'm doing this for you because money is something that is meant to be sowed. And let's go back to vacation. I know vacation season's coming up. We're about to plan our vacation. You can vacation at home. You can do a day trip. You can go stay with family. Maybe you got family in Florida. Go stay with them. But please don't add more stress and heartache to you and your family by going in debt for American vacation. Do it the right way. Because, one thing you can't vacation from? That credit card bill. You can't go on vacation from it. You can't go on vacation from the bank. You can't go on vacation from the debt collector. They will find you. It's still going to be due whether you pay it or not. So let's remember that we're always sowing our thoughts, our words, our time, our emotion, and our money. So ask yourself about each of these things. Where's it going? Have you ever, talking about money, have you ever gotten to the end of the month and go, where did it all go? It went to McDonald's, and it went to Starbucks, and it went to, Walmart, and people ask themselves, I make enough money to pay for everything. Where's it all go? And sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, where are all these things going? Not just our money, but where are our thoughts going? Where are they leading us, or are we leading our thoughts? Where's our emotion going? Why am I tired all the time? Because you're expending emotional energy that you're wasting, that you're putting into things that don't matter, that you're worrying about when Jesus told you not to worry. Where does all my time go? Well, you're wasting it looking at Facebook. You're wasting it watching YouTube. You're wasting it, chatting with the neighbor that's just talking negative and talking nonsense and tearing people down. Ask yourself, where are all these things going? Where are they leading me? Because wherever they're going, that's where you're going. Wherever your thoughts are going, that's where you're going. Wherever your words are going, that's where you're going. Wherever your time is going, that's where you're going. Wherever your emotions are going, that's where you're going. Wherever your money is going, that's where you're going. So what you need to do instead is get out ahead of those things and make sure that wherever you're going, Your thoughts are going, your words are going, your time's going, your emotions going, and your money's going. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I'm going to very simply just pray to close out. Thank you guys for being here. And I hope that this encouraged you. I hope it challenged you to a certain extent to remember that we're going to harvest our thoughts, our words, our time, our emotion, and our money. And so where we sow them matters. Amen. Bow your heads with me tonight. Father, we come before you tonight humbly, thankful for your word, thankful for your truth, thankful for your goodness, God. And I pray that tonight you would seal these things in our heart, God. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to meditate and think upon things that are good, are lovely, are just, are noble, are of good report, God. I pray that we would be people that lead our thoughts instead of being led by our thoughts, lead our emotions to you instead of being led by them, God, that we would manage and steward our time and sow our time and our money and our resources well, God, that our energy would be put towards seeking you and finding you, God, because we have that promise that if we seek you, we will find you, God. So I pray for a bountiful harvest over your church. God, I pray even for those that are not with us tonight. God, I pray that we would be a people that reap a bountiful harvest, God, not just 30 or 60, but 100-fold. God, I pray that we would see souls come into the kingdom. I pray that we would be blessed in our lives, Lord. I pray that everything that we put our hands to, like Joseph, would be blessed, Lord, that it would increase so that we could be more generous to those that are around us. God, I thank you for your people tonight. I speak a blessing over them. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you. In Jesus' name, amen.